Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Happy Victory Sunday. Welcome in to an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at AndyHermanNFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Thank you so much for being here today. And as always, thank you so much for making Pack-A-Day part of your daily routine. We do have a massive Packers preseason victory over the Indianapolis Colts to discuss in epic comeback fashion with a little bit of controversy at the end, which ended up not actually being controversial if you kind of go back and look at it. But we're going to dive into everything today. The Packers do win 23-19. This had some beautiful preseason blend of some really ugly football with a lot of penalties and some stuff that was tough to digest with kind of a really entertaining end of the game where both teams went back and forth and back and forth, taking the lead back, and then you had some drama at the end. So a little bit of excitement and kind of fun at the end with some really bad football mixed in, which was just like the ultimate preseason experience. I do think that it might end up being a little bit of a reverse of last week's game. Last week's game, you lose 30-10. Everyone's panicking. Not everyone, but some people are panicking. They're frustrated that the team played like that. And you go back and watch it, and there's a lot of young players that actually play pretty well or show signs of promise and some things that you can actually sink your teeth into in that game. Now, I've not gone and watched the all 22 on everything as of yet. I did do the condensed replay and rewatched everything. I kind of have a feeling in this one, and just sort of with players that did and didn't play, I don't think we're going to have quite as much from really big takeaway from some of the young players, one maybe withstanding. But I do think that there are some interesting players to discuss out of this one that will help themselves or hurt themselves either on the practice squad or on the 53-man roster. We'll break down that today. But the other thing, too, that we have to also sort of navigate is a few injuries that we had in this game as well. So we will also talk about that. But a little bit different. It feels better. You didn't lose 30-10. In fact, you actually picked up a win at the death of the game, really, with that big play at the end, which looked like a touchdown or at least a catch, but then wasn't. But again, I'm not sure that you had the young standouts that you did maybe from a week ago, even though it was a 30-10 loss. Before we get into too much more, shout out to our brand new Pack-A-Day Podcast YouTube members, Basimus, Tristan Yu, Alex Kiley, and Jackie Sikowski. Thank you guys so much for signing up. Appreciate that a ton. If you have not checked out those memberships yet, today is a great day to do so. One of the stories kind of coming into this game was who would play and who would not play. It was a sort of interesting conversation point that we had in the pregame show. Well, there were 29 players who were inactive for this game, which was actually kind of like 31 players who were inactive because Matthew Golden dressed but did not play a single snap. So they were clearly saving him. I think they probably had him as a just in case if they had some injuries or whatever, but he did not play a single snap. And then Brandon McManus also did not play. They dressed him in case something were to happen to McNamee, that you would still have a kicker, but he did not kick or play a single snap in the game either. So 29 inactives and then two players in Golden and McManus who were not inactive but did not play. The entire list, quarterback Jordan Love, running back Josh Jacobs, wide receivers Christian Watson, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks, Savion Williams, Romeo Doubs, and then Matthew Golden-ish. Tight ends, Tucker Kraft, Luke Musgrave, offensive linemen, Zach Tom, Rashid Walker, Aaron Banks, John Williams, and Elton Jenkins. Defensive linemen, Devontae Wyatt and Kenny Clark. Defensive ends, Colin Oliver, LVN, and Rashawn Gary. Linebackers, Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, and Isaiah McDuffie. Corners, Nate Hobbs, Carrington Valentine, and Keyshawn Nixon. Safeties, Xavier McKinney, Evan Williams, Zane Anderson, and Javon Bullard. And then, like I mentioned, Brandon McManus also did not kick in this game. The interesting one on this list, we don't know the differentiators between which ones were injury and which ones were healthy scratches. Now, we know which players did not practice due to injury on Thursday. We also know that there were no new injuries from practice on Thursday, so we can probably glean it pretty well. But the interesting player on this list to me is Isaiah McDuffie. Isaiah McDuffie getting a healthy scratch going into this game is pretty impressive for him. you know, they did give him that new contract in the offseason. They clearly view him right now as that number three linebacker. We knew he's not going anywhere. He was a lock to make the 53, but they clearly see him as a key player, not only at linebacker, but on special teams as well. He's kind of one of the interesting ones that does, in fact, get that healthy scratch prior to the game. As far as who played the most in this game per PFF on offense, Anthony Belton and Donovan Jennings tied for the most snaps with 62 apiece. Julian Hicks played 58. Kadeem Telford played 52. Cornelius Johnson played 51. Tyler Cooper played 46. And Messiah Swinson played 40. On defense, Jonathan Baldwin played 52. Aaron Mosby, 51. Isaiah Simmons, 49, which is interesting that Simmons played as much as he did in this game going into the fourth quarter. Warren Brinson played 45. Deslon Alexander played 45. Kalen King and Bo Melton both played 42. And then Kamal Haddon played 40. So those were your most snapped players on offense and defense. On special teams, Deslon Alexander and Christian Welch, both played 20 snaps. Jamon Johnson played 16, as did Ben Sims. All right, let's get to our Luigi's Pizza player of the game. There's only one player I can go with here. I have to go Daniel Whelan. He was perfect. He was legitimately perfect. And you can, you know, navigate yourself into maybe some other, like Julian Hicks had an interesting day. We'll talk about that. You know, Sean Clifford led a comeback, but it was really only the one drive, and he was 1 for 5, I think, from a, you know, completions on attempts in this particular game. There weren't a whole lot of players that had these like massive performances, right? Except for Daniel Whelan. 3 punts, 148 yards, a 49.3 yard average, including all 3 punts landing inside the 20 with a long of 59 yards. I'm going to go Danny Whelan here. To me, he was the best player in this game for Green Bay. Now, you don't necessarily want the punter to be your best player, especially like how many times ever in anything are you going to get a win and the punter was the best player? I have to go Daniel Whelan here. He was fantastic with everything he was asked to do in this particular game. So shout out to him. Also, our Habish and Rotier injury report following the game. 3 known new injuries from this one. Omar Brown with a chest contusion. Sounds like a semi-scary injury where he actually had to stay in the hospital overnight. You never want to see anything like that. Hopefully he's okay and can get back sooner rather than later, but you always want to be cautious with those type of injuries. So Omar Brown. Marshawn Lloyd. We'll talk about Marshawn Lloyd. Good news, bad news. The bad news is there is a injury here. Bad news is it's a hamstring injury. The good news, it's just a little bit of hamstring tightness. And per Bill Huber, it is not expected to be a serious injury at all. It sounds like it's a very minor injury that they're not concerned about, but still worth noting nonetheless. Good news overall, not a big time injury, but a hamstring tightness injury for Marshawn Lloyd. And then Baron Sorrell had a knee injury. He went out early. It was a special teams play where he got kind of rolled up on, went into the blue tent, and then he did not return to the game. So 3 known injuries from this one: Omar Brown chest contusion, Marshawn Lloyd hamstring tightness, and Baron Sorrell with that knee injury. All right, I have got a smattering of just sort of random topics that I want to talk about. Most of these are just players, some kind of like individual player performances. Some of them are themes and just other random thoughts that I have in my head from that game. I've got 22 of them, and they're all going to be pretty short snippets because, again, I don't think there's any through line theme from this one that really like tells a narrative or a story or anything. So just kind of some random takeaways from this game. Let's get into it right away. The first thing I will say is the first half, not an ideal half maybe for Green Bay. Some sloppiness. We'll get into the penalties. Emmanuel Wilson, I can't remember if Wilson's turnover was in the first half or the second half off the top of my head, but there was still a turnover from Emmanuel Wilson. It wasn't the prettiest, but what I will say is that was a lot of Packers who are going to be on the second or third team or not even make the team going up against the Colts starters, and they hung. Like it wasn't like a train wreck. It wasn't a nightmare. They hung in there defensively against the Colts starters. And then on offense, like they had a couple completions and they played them pretty tight here. And they're like, it wasn't this like laughing stock where the Colts were just running circles around Green Bay's number twos and number threes. Like it was kind of competitive. The Colts had the lead. Give them credit for that. But it wasn't one of those things where you're just looking like, oh my God, these are like two completely different caliber of players. And when you've got your twos and threes in and they've got their ones in, that is very, very noteworthy. So I thought Jeff Hafley and company, especially on defense, yeah, you allowed some a little bit of points or whatever, but the fact that you're doing that with your twos and threes for the most part, I thought was ultra impressive. And it didn't ever quite look like this was a team that was playing with their starters against a team with complete backups, but it was, and that's a kudos to Green Bay, their depth, and I thought just kind of what they were able to accomplish going up against Indianapolis's starters in this one. Second thing, let's talk about Marshawn Lloyd. I saw some people say like, hey, as a runner, it didn't look great. That one play in the hole where he makes a linebacker just miss immediately in the hole to pick up extra yards was an impressive run. I thought he ran tough, had a couple runs where he got yards after contact, and there just wasn't a lot there for Marshawn Lloyd. I understand that when you hear of like, oh, he's making all these big plays in practice, and then you see like a couple 3-4 yard runs, you're like, all right, well, that wasn't anything special. There still has to be stuff blocked up for him, right? And at first glance, and as I rewatched it, I didn't see a whole lot of opportunity for Marshawn Lloyd, the runner, to be able to do a whole heck of a lot more than that. So to me, he was fine as a runner. It wasn't spectacular because there wasn't much opportunity to do anything spectacular there. And then as a receiver, that wheel route was really impressive to be able to get down the field. Nice catch there. Unfortunately, that's the play it seemed like he got a little bit banged up on, did not return after that particular play. Couple other plays of note. On the blitz pickup on the left side, I appreciate the fact that Marshawn Lloyd was able to get over there and recognize his assignment and get there. Not the best block, but did a good job of getting in the way and then kind of releasing afterwards. So not a terrible play there overall from Lloyd. Now, he got a play where he kind of threw it out in front. Malik Willis threw it out in front of him. I thought there was an opportunity for a catch there, and Lloyd just couldn't quite hang on. It was a tough play. I'm not going to hold it against him too much, but one I would be willing to bet you Marshawn Lloyd would say he probably could have had. And then the other one was well behind him. He didn't have much opportunity to do much else, but I thought overall the wheel route was the big one, but I thought he ran well and had some good moments, a couple things that he needs to clean up. The big thing, unfortunately, is the injury. And then, of course, we get into this. Marshawn Lloyd sucks. He's always injured, whatever. I talked about this on the live postgame show. There's nothing to me that you can, like, if you can prove to me, anybody, this is open conversation. If anyone can prove to me that you have definitive proof that you now know, like, Marshawn Lloyd for the rest of his career, based on what we've seen so far, is going to remain injured and, you know, and consistently have injuries, let me know, and then I will be willing to understand the injury-prone designation. I don't believe in that. Unless there's something that you can say like, yep, here's a definitive proof that he's going to remain injured moving forward. I don't buy into that sort of, I guess, thought process or just conversation. To me, it doesn't do anyone any good, and it's not like he's trying with these injuries, right? I will say this. It is fair to say through over a year now, Marshawn Lloyd has had a variety of different injuries. At the end of the day, every player in the NFL is judged by what they can do on the field. And if you can't get on the field, well, that's part of that equation of judging the player for what they were able to accomplish. If you can't get out there, you can't accomplish anything. It's the lame cliche, the best ability is availability. You have to be able to go out there and play. I think there's been a lot of weird freak stuff, including, you know what, appendicitis last year and all that. Like, it's been some fluky stuff for Marshawn Lloyd. But over a year now, we're at like injury number like 6. That's a lot. And I'm not holding that against him, by the way. I don't think that that's something that he has control over, especially something like appendicitis, right? But it is disappointing that he hasn't been able to stay out there a little bit more. It sounds like this is a minor injury. Hopefully this is the last one. And we'll say that again, and then hopefully you can go out there and actually stay healthy. But I do understand that there is a little bit of a frustration there. I'm sure the Packers are frustrated. I know Marshawn Lloyd is frustrated. It's just one of those things that sometimes happens, and hopefully we're in the clear now after this one with Marshawn Lloyd. But it is disappointing that he's had this litany of injuries so far throughout the course of his career that's just limited him in such a significant way, because he is a really talented player and we all want to see him out there consistently without those injury issues moving forward. We'll be right back. Today's episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. Now, preseason football is already underway and college football is here, so do not miss any of the action this season on Prize Picks. I had an absolute blast winning last year on Prize Picks, and now I'm gearing up for another epic run in 2025. I've already got a couple deep sleepers in mind, and I'm going to be very, very high on Tucker Kraft this upcoming season as well. Now, you may be new to Prize Picks, so let's break it down super easy. Prize Picks is incredibly simple to play. You just pick more or less on 2 to 6 player stat projections, and if you get your picks right, you could cash in and win up to 2,000 times your money. That's why Prize Picks already has millions of users, because it's the best place to win cash while watching sports. And there's never been a better time to sign up than today. So download the Prize Picks app today using code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code PACKADAY to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. And don't forget that code PACKADAY. Prize Picks. Run your game. Julian Hicks. This is a great example as to why you just don't box score scout, right? Julian Hicks had a couple really nice receptions, including a beautiful one-handed catch that he made that got wiped out due to some penalties. I thought, again, I've talked about Julian Hicks on multiple occasions. I don't think he's a 53 guy, especially with the depth that this team has at wide receiver, but this is a guy that you can put on your practice squad. And if you need to call him up, like as your number 5 or 6 receiver on any given game day, he can come and help you, give you reps if you need them. And it's going to be fine. Like it may not be the sexiest, most explosive playmaker in the world, which I also talked about on the postgame show. You need something, right? Whether it's after the catch, the ability to separate as a route runner, or the ability to win deep, you kind of have to check one of those three boxes. I don't think Hicks has any of those. He's not a deep threat. He's not a run after the catch threat. He's not an unbelievable route runner to gain yards of separation. When he catches the ball, what do you notice? Usually there's a corner right on him and he's got to go make the play. He's good in those contested catch situations, but he's a good receiver. He does a lot of things really well. And I do think, again, if you can get him on the practice squad and call him up when you need him, if you need him, that there is still value there for Julian Hicks. I think he showed a lot of that today. Cornelius Johnson was also one that definitely caught my eye. And that one play over the middle on fourth down, it's a little bit high and on a rope and he extends out and gets it. There was just something about Cornelius Johnson today too that just passed the eye test a little bit more. He's got the great height. He also has great speed. Really big time athlete. Just plucking the ball out of the air on that particular catch. Had multiple catches on the day. He just had that, hey, this looks good. It looks different. It looks the part a little bit more than maybe the Shepherds, even the Hickses, and some of the other wide receivers. Nayer's interesting where he got open a couple times, probably should have had maybe the go-ahead and game-winning touchdown in this one if Clifford would have hit him on that particular throw. He had a couple of those on the day. He's one that I'm really keeping an eye on from a practice squad standpoint, but Cornelius Johnson, I thought, had a nice day, helped himself at least to try to get maybe one of those practice squad spots. As we talked about, penalties were a big issue in this game still. 11 in the first half, including some pre-snap penalties, some over-aggressive penalties, some holding penalties. We saw it from a variety of players, including Anthony Belton, who was responsible for 5 of those 11 penalties. Too much. It needs to get cleaned up. It's a lot of young players that are in game situations for the first time. It's not an excuse on anything, but those are things that you don't necessarily want to see. It also felt like they were maybe setting a little bit of precedent with some of the illegal procedure penalties where you had Telford have one and then Belton have 2 on the same drive. That's pretty simple stuff to get corrected. I also thought on one of the Belton ones, it looked a little ticky-tacky, but those are things that Green Bay has to get cleaned up. It's not anything that I'm concerned about come the regular season at this point. These are a lot of young, inexperienced players that are kind of going through this and trying to not make mistakes. And sometimes when you press or get the anxiousness or nervousness or are just pressing a little bit too much, those things will just happen. Once the regular season settles in, I do not expect some of these things to be an issue long-term. But 11 in the first half is a crap ton of penalties, and it cost Green Bay. Took a touchdown off the board, a really nice play to Ben Sims. Took a couple really nice Julian Hicks plays off the board. So you just got to clean those up and make sure that you're not hurting yourself with penalties that take some really big plays off the board, specifically on the offensive side of the ball. Anthony Belton, as I mentioned, 5 penalties on the day, 2 illegal procedure penalties, and then 1, you know, really dumb just block in the back after the whistle penalty along the sidelines. That's just over aggressive and just stupid at that point. Here's what I'll say about Anthony Belton. For the most part, when that dude was just asked to block, I thought once again you saw a very talented left and right tackle that when he's in a phone booth or when he's one-on-one with somebody, that dude's getting the opposing player is getting shut down more often than not. There is a ton of talent there. And all the mistakes in this game for Anthony Belton are pretty correctable things, pretty easily correctable things. So I still love the upside. I love the talent that I'm seeing out there from Anthony Belton. Some big time blocks, some real people moving stuff in the run game. That has me really excited. I do think he's a very talented individual, and I'm excited to see what he can be long-term. He's just going through some of those rookie moments. It does not absolve five penalties on in a half, or I don't know if his were all in the half. I think they were. I think all five were in the first half, but it does not absolve all of that. He's got to get that cleaned up. It needs to be better. I thought Belton owned it and said, hey, yeah, he needs to be better. He understood it as well. That's always a good sign that you're taking ownership of that stuff. I also, again, don't expect that to be long-term, but you don't want to have that type of showing. Also had like a play on goal line where a defender gets across his face on a run play to the left. That stuff can't happen. It doesn't matter how talented you are. If you have those lapses in a game, whether it's a holding penalty, a personal foul, an illegal procedure, a false start, a bad block that leads to a negative play. If you have those, here's the thing. They're different types of talented, but you're just Jason Spriggs at that point. What I mean, different types of talented. Spriggs was more light feet and really athletic. Belton's more heavy feet and really athletic, you know, just a bigger player. But they were both incredibly talented, but Spriggs had all those mental lapses where it would just be like, it would look like you forget how to play offensive linemen for a handful of snaps per game. And if you do that, you don't have a chance to be a legitimate offensive lineman because it's just too many mistakes that hurt your team. So that's what Belton's going to have to work on. Technique and just staying in the moment, being consistent. Those two things, if Belton cleans up, the ability for him to be a long-term starter for this team and a mauler in the run game is right there. It's all on a silver platter for him if he wants to take it. But he's going to have to get better with technique, and he's going to have to be more consistent on a down-to-down basis. I thought Bo Melton had that. Well, he had the beautiful pass breakup. And I said it last week. I'll say it again right now. What he's doing 3 weeks ago is when he officially made the transition to corner. What, not even 3 months ago was when they started even just thinking about and having him play some snaps here and there on defense in minicamp. It is unbelievable and completely remarkable that he looks like a corner out there. A nice PBU. Thought he made a couple of good plays as a tackler. He just looks the part already. And that is no easy task whatsoever. Excited to watch the all 22 on him, but what he is doing out there, transitioning from wide receiver to corner, that is such a ridiculous thing to do at the NFL level. And he might already be in that corner four conversation for Green Bay. It's impressive what he's doing, and hopefully he can, you know, kind of continue that upward trajectory and even get better. How could he not? He's an infant at playing corner, and it looks solid. It looks solid. It looks good so far. As time goes on, I would hope that would only continue to get better and he can kind of master that position as time goes on. Donovan Jennings, really tough game for him up front. I mean, when he gets the start, it was what, Morgan, Jennings, Ryan, Monk, and Belton. He was very clearly the weak link on that offensive line with those five guys. There was no question about it. I did think he settled into the game a little bit more, as the rest of the team did. As you're going against starters to begin with, it's going to be tough. And then when you start going against second and third stringers, it's going to ease up a little bit for you. But you definitely felt like he was the weak link. And I thought that was his second consecutive tough game. He's going to need a pretty massive third preseason game. Listen, that number eight offensive line, or sorry, the number nine offensive line spot is totally up for grabs. Kadeem Telford, Donovan Jennings, any of the undrafted guys, Lasita Smith, Trey Hill, go grab it. It's right there. Donovan Jennings has got a lot of opportunity. Unfortunately, I don't think he's made the most of it through two preseason games so far. One player who has is Jordan Morgan. I thought for the second consecutive week, Jordan looked really good at left tackle. And this is why, like, they blew that pick. He looks like a starting offensive tackle. That is a huge pick if that ends up being the case. If you get a true, legitimate starting offensive tackle, that is worth a first-round pick every single time, much less a late first-round pick. and he has guard versatility as well. That was an exciting performance for the second consecutive week for Jordan Morgan, and just him coming into his own right before our eyes. The footwork has always been there. Now his hands are getting better. He's not exposing his chest quite as much. Like that's important. And I thought this was a really good step. And again, going against some number one pass rushers early on in Indianapolis in this game, a real positive takeaway from this one as Jordan Morgan for the second consecutive week, and really is showing that this might end up really truly being a competition at left tackle. And Jordan Morgan is making it one because he is playing better and better as the weeks go on, and now stack success in two consecutive preseason games. I also thought it was better from Jacob Monk. Not great, not epic, not wonderful, but much, much better. Thought this was a solid overall performance from Jacob Monk. Some good, some bad, just like anyone else, but not the three penalties and allowing a sack and just having one of those nightmare performances like he did a week ago. And once again, going up against some of the number ones from Indianapolis as well. Thought he settled into this game a whole heck of a lot better, did not have those lapses, and is still, to me, very much the leader in the clubhouse for that number eight offensive line spot. Tyron Hopper and Jamon Johnson at the second level at linebacker, I thought really showed out. Those two, to me, were two of the better players on defense throughout the course of the day. We saw Tyron Hopper show the ability to get sideline to sideline, was pretty consistent as a tackler. And Jamon Johnson was night and day difference from that first preseason game where he looked totally lost and not quite ready. Maybe some nerves went into that. But week two, it definitely settled down for him a little bit more. And he was just going out there and hitting things. And that's what you want from your linebacker. I thought he was much more assignment sure, and was a little bit better in coverage as well. So much, much better for Jamon Johnson this week. One player was not much, much better for at the same position was Isaiah Simmons. Isaiah Simmons has gone from having some real legitimate packages that looked like they were in place for him, and maybe even competing with Isaiah McDuffie for that number three linebacker spot just in totality, to no longer being sure that he's even on this team. And if he is on this team, it's probably as an emergency linebacker and a special teams player only. That's where he's going to have to earn his spot, is on special teams, because it has been pretty disastrous at linebacker these past couple weeks. This is sort of the MO for Isaiah Simmons. Super talented. You get enticed by all of the talent, and then you put him out there and it's just like, why is that a thing? Why is he doing the things that he's doing? Doesn't ever add up. And that's what we saw from Simmons these last couple weeks. You were hoping that after week one, there would maybe be a little bit of recollection and, you know, just trying to go out there and put his best foot forward in week two. And it just felt like the same exact thing that we saw in week one. Coverage was all over the place. Run defense was all over the place. I will say he made that pretty epic stop at the goal line. That was an awesome play. But that was like one pretty incredible play. And then a lot of, you know, just ugly football surrounding it. Just not good enough. And his spot seems much more in jeopardy than it was. It comes down to him and Christian Welch, probably. And they're both special teams guys. Welch, maybe even a little bit more so, although Simmons has that high-end upside on special teams. And like legitimately, like he's been good on special teams in the past. Whereas, you know, I think Welch might actually even be the better linebacker right now, because Simmons has just been really, really bad. But that will be one to keep an eye on. I still think Simmons makes it, but man, you really do not want him on the field at defense right now. Kamal Haddon made his way back after not playing in week one in preseason. Thought it was a tough showing for him. I've been excited about what I've seen from Haddon in camp and just kind of coming over from Kansas City as a sixth round pick a year ago. Today was a tough one, or I should say, you know, as you're listening to this, yesterday was a tough one for Kamal Haddon. Hopefully he can bounce back in week three, but his spot is by no means guaranteed. He's fighting for one of those corner spots, and I didn't think he did himself any favors with this particular performance. I've talked about Deslon Alexander quite a bit. I thought he had his best day as a Green Bay Packer. The little twist inside for a sack, and then also had some special teams plays. Played 20 snaps on special teams, which is impressive, and showed that he can go out there and kind of get the job done. And this is the same Julian Hicks conversation, right, that we had on offense. He's a practice squad guy that you can call up, and if you need 8 to 10 snaps out of, he's going to give you good effort, solid performance, and it's not going to be like, oh my God, this guy's not an NFL player. He'll hang for you, and that's a lot of times all you can ask from those type of players, but a nice performance from Deslon Alexander. We'll be right back. Emmanuel Wilson, some good and bad. The little throw to the outside, first of all, he's done a much better job of getting better and better as a receiver out of the backfield, but The other big thing is he had the fumble. That was a punch right on the ball. And, you know, it is what it is sometimes, but it's no excuse. You've got to be able to hold on to that thing. He did not. And that's a big play in the game. You know, ball security is 1A. When you're whether it's a ball carrier, you know, a playmaker, et cetera, you got to take care of the ball. He did not. He also had a bad blitz pickup on one particular play, which is why, again, Chris Brooks is your designated and go-to pass protector. So some good stuff that you saw from a running standpoint, but some of the other and receiving on that play down the sideline, which was a beautiful play. You saw the speed for him to get around the corner and then just truck I think it was corner or safety in the open field. That's the type of talent that he has, but you got to take care of the little things as well. And not taking care of the football is always going to be a bad thing for any player on any given day. Speaking of taking care of the football, the Colts did a good job. I did think you noticed a much more, you know, just purposeful ripping at the football in this game from Green Bay. It's something we've seen at practice a ton, like just punching the ball out, ripping the ball out. We saw at practice this week, Javon Bullard ripped a ball out against Indianapolis. We've seen that a lot more, but in week one of preseason, you didn't see any of it. You didn't see guys going for the ball or ripping at it. It didn't carry over. Jeff Hafley called it out. It was much more, you know, just prevalent in week two against Indianapolis. They didn't rip it out. They didn't punch it out, but you could tell they were really going for that ball, and hopefully that pays dividends down the line. Taylor Algirsma versus Sean Clifford. I know a lot of people are like, yeah, like Algirsma, look what he did. There was some good stuff from Algirsma, right? The touchdown throw that got called back. And there were just some moments where he started to rip the ball a little bit more and you could kind of see the vision. There was also so many times where he got really happy feet in the pocket and just looked so uncomfortable as a pocket quarterback. And then also had the interception. I would say that this was, I know you can look at the box score and some of the big throws and be like, look at what he did. I think this was actually a little bit of a tougher performance from Algirsma with some real positive signs mixed in. As far as Sean Clifford goes, missed that opportunity to nair down the field, but does lead his team down for the game-winning touchdown. It was only, I think, 1 of 5 on the drive, but did utilize his legs a little bit more. This is just kind of that classic conversation of you kind of know what you have in Sean Clifford, and he's probably just a number three quarterback long-term. There's no real upside there, but he knows the offense very well, whereas Algirsma is just swimming right now, making this transition into the NFL as an undrafted Canadian quarterback, and he has upside, though. So which one do you want? I would probably go with Algirsma in that situation, but I do think Clifford is a little bit ahead of Algirsma, well, a lot ahead when it comes to knowing the offense and those sort of things. I'm interested to see what Green Bay will do. Some good moments from both, some bad moments from both, but I think Algirsma's got to settle down in the pocket a little bit more. I will say, and I give him credit, it did seem like he settled into the game a little bit more as he went along and started to get more and more reps, which is what you want to see from a young quarterback. As far as the end of the game goes, where Green Bay won it on that play, at first, it definitely looked like a touchdown to me. There is a pretty clear view. You can check my social media at Andy Herman NFL. I retweeted it out there. There is a play with pretty clear vision that the ball, when he's going to the ground, the ball hits the ground. And it's not just like even like one where like it moves in his hands. Like, no, it comes out and it hits the ground and it's pretty clear as day. So I'll just put it there. I don't care. It doesn't matter whether they would have won or lost based on that. Means absolutely nothing. It's one of those plays that for in the regular season, it probably would have had some controversy to it. But I do actually think seeing that one replay that, again, you can go check out on my social media profile. It did very much seem like an incompletion. And I think they actually got that call right. Amar Johnson, another solid performance from him, including that really nice touchdown run. He's got some power. He's got some juice. He runs behind his pads. He stays low to the ground. Just looks like a good running back. Probably a top practice squad guy. If they can get him back on the practice squad, I think they're going to be very, very excited about that. Mark McNamee, a good story, rough day, misses an extra point, misses a field goal. Had it not been for those things, Green Bay might have been able to get this one away a little bit earlier before that final drive. But still interesting to see him, you know, kind of come over from Ireland and try this thing out. But a tough day for him, to say the least. John Fitzpatrick continues to look the part as that number three tight end. Nice reception down the field. And he just seems at this point to have that spot locked up. And then Mecole Hardman, better. Still think he has a lot of work to do to make the 53 at this point, but made better decisions as a punt returner and had a nice reception down the field as well. Those are kind of my notes and takeaways from the game. My key takeaways, the injuries, those are ones that we're going to want to keep an eye on. It sounds like Lloyd is minor, but Omar Brown, Baron Sorrell. Sorrell is really the big one right now that I think you want to keep an eye on, because he would be a true rotational player for this team. If he's out for any period of time, that certainly hurts the edge rotation. Hopefully they can get some help if Colin Oliver can come back, and hopefully Baron Sorrell's is nothing too serious. Sounds like Lloyd's is not too serious. And then hopefully Omar Brown gets back sooner rather than later, and that there's nothing major there going on. So injuries was key takeaway number one. Number two is you picked up a win against a team who played their starters way more and far more often, or just period, right? That still, I think, is a little bit of a morale and confidence builder. Means nothing going into Detroit in totality, but I'm glad that they were able to do it and show that, hey, some of these second and third guys can hang even with another team's starters. And then last but not least, Jordan Morgan continued to look the part. I think those are the three big takeaways. As far as this week goes, Sunday will be an off day. Monday is TBD. I don't know if they're going to have a practice. That's just open to the media or not. My guess is probably yes, but I do not know for sure. Tuesday is an open training camp practice to the public. Wednesday, also TBD. It's not open to the public right now. I don't even know if there's going to be a practice. My guess is there will. My guess is it's probably open to the media, but don't know that as right now. So that's a TBD. Thursday is joint practice with the Seahawks and the final day of Packers training camp. How quickly this goes by. The last open practice this Thursday, it'll be a very busy one with Seattle in town. Friday will be an off day, probably some walkthroughs for the team. Saturday's the preseason game. Sunday's an off day. Monday, my guess is there's a practice that's open to the media only. And then Tuesday next week is going to be cut down day. So that's your next kind of week and a half as we look forward. My final thoughts, less takeaways from this one, but it certainly feels better aesthetically that they were able to pick up the win. And my biggest ultimate takeaway from this one, the Colts, I think, are going to be a very bad football team. They enjoyed practices by all accounts, and in the preseason game, and just in general, it's not looking very pretty right now for Indianapolis. All right, that's going to do it for me today. Kudos to the Green Bay Packers on their first big win of 2025, picking up an epic last second win over the Indianapolis Colts. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donald Lee, Laurie Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Wong, Peter Rataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gasford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkelstinkel, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Craig. I will see you guys soon, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.